Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to Revelation chapter 2, where we were this morning. We began the message this morning talking about the church at Smyrna, the makings of a rich church. And I don't want to review everything, but I do want to touch on just a couple of things. You know, we brought several messages out of Revelation, I guess it was 19, 20, 21, and 22, under the heading John Saul. And then in these churches here, the Lord told John to write. We told you early on that the letters to the churches are prophetical, the letters to the churches are practical, and the letters to the churches are personal. There are things that we can glean from these letters that our Lord had John to write unto the churches. We studied the book of the church at Ephesus last week, and we saw that the church at Ephesus, they had so many things right, but they had the main thing wrong. They had left their first love. Boy, I tell you, that'll kill a fellowship with the Lord. He wants us to love Him above all things. He wants us to love Him. And if our love is right, I'm of the opinion that everything else just falls right in place. You could say the same thing of a marriage. You could say the same thing in a home. If the love is right, everything else will just fall right into place. This morning we began talking about the church at Smyrna. The Bible said unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. And this little thing in parentheses is where the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. But the Lord said, but thou art rich. He said, I know your poverty, but you're rich. I don't know about you this evening, but I never feel richer than when I sense His presence. Amen. That the God of heaven, the likes of Him, would visit with the likes of me and fellowship with me and encourage me and strengthen me and give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. To me, that blows my mind. We never have, never will deserve that, but it sure is a blessing from God when He comes by and visits with His people. He said, I know your poverty, but you're rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I said this morning as we did a little bit of comparison with the church at Laodicea. The church at Laodicea, they were saying they were rich, and God said they were poor. Here it looks like this church is poor, but God said they're rich. We said this morning a church can appear to be poor and yet be rich, and a church can appear to be rich and yet be poor. I tell you, it's Him that makes the difference. Amen. He said then, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. If you do a study of Job chapter number 1, listen to me carefully right here. The devil does have power. Yes, he does. But I want you to know that when it's pertaining to the people of God, whatever the devil does, he must be allowed of God to do. And if you'll study that in the life of Job, it'll help you. Amen. Job was doing things right. Job was raising godly children, and Job was praying, and Job loved God, and Job feared God, and Job walked uprightly, and he eschewed evil. He stayed away from the evil that was in the world. And yet, the Word of God said, trouble came. Now that kind of preaching won't line up with what a lot of these TV evangelists are preaching. But I'm telling you right now that a lot of them wouldn't even believe what's going on here at Smyrna. They'll tell you if you love God, that why it's just all going to be a bed of roses, so to speak. The bills will be paid. You'll be driving the nicest cars, living in the finest homes. And what's sad is a lot of people, especially a lot of people that are on a fixed income, are sending money every week to that garbage. And they are living in the finest homes, amen, because they're deceiving people. They're not telling them the truth. The Word of God said here, fear none of those things. The devil cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I like to use the second death that language when I'm witnessing to people, because probably 90 out of 100 people that I witness to have never heard of the second death. And it's good to just sit down with them and take a Bible and teach them. They know what death is. Everybody, death has touched everybody's life. But the second death, to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. That's what the second death is all about. And God said to the church here, you'll not be touched of the second death. You'll not need to worry about the second death. You'll not be hurt of the second death. Let's pray for a moment, and we'll try to finish up what we began on this morning. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. I pray, dear God, that you'll just help us in the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us liberty to preach. May the Spirit of God lead and guide our lips, our thoughts, and our speech. And Lord, may the Spirit of God give us ears to hear what you would say to the church tonight. Lord, I thank you for the church. Lord, I'm glad I'm part of the church. I thank you, Lord, that you purchased the church with your own blood. Lord, we belong to you tonight. Lord, everything may be upside down in this world. Lord, everything's all right in our Father's house tonight. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us, Lord, and we'll give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving that man this morning. I pray you'd help him to grow now, Lord. Grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus put down inside of him a hunger for the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be a help and encouragement to him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're talking about the makings of a rich church. And just briefly, we saw this morning there was the presence of the Savior. There was a Savior here in this church. These things saith the first and the last. It was the Lord, the Savior, that was talking to them. He commended the church at Smyrna. Not one thing negative was said about this church. He comforts the church at Smyrna, and then he crowns the church at Smyrna. Then we talked about the scripture that makes a church rich. There are a lot of places that call themselves churches. They'll get up and read out of a little leaflet or a little booklet. And if there is a scripture reference in it, it's not even a King James Bible reference, amen. But I want you to know God said a church that's got a Bible is rich, amen. And then service, he said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. We talked about how that serving God, a church where people are servants. I've often said, and I still believe it's so, there's not a greater title for God's people than to be a servant of the Lord. Amen. I believe that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that could be said of God's children, to be a servant of the Lord. I got three or four more things now tonight to finish up the message talking about the makings of a rich church, you know, where there are ingredients. And if my wife asked me the other night, she makes a dessert dish called Lucky If You Get a Piece. And it's got strawberries in it and got cream cheese in it. And it's got this crust that's out of this world in it. And she said, honey, would you like to have a piece of that? I said, would I like to have a piece of that? Amen. I don't know all about the ingredients. I know, but when you put it all together, especially if she gets a hold of it, something good's going to come out of it. Amen. And so the ingredients of a rich church is kind of what we're looking at. The Savior, the Scripture, service. Then I want to give you this tonight. I'll not say a lot about it, but there's not enough said about it in this generation. And that is separation. I listened to the lesson, the Sunday school lesson this morning on my way home. I listened to what Brother Brian taught in Sunday school this morning. Wasn't it amazing? I mean, I didn't know what he had taught, how the Sunday school and the morning service tied together. Amen. And Brother Brian said there, you know, I guess it was after World War II when the world began to infiltrate the church and the church began to infiltrate the world, so to speak. And it kind of got meshing together there. And the difference is just not there that there once was. Amen. There was a time when somebody gets saved and if they went back to work, you'd see people whispering. They'd say so-and-so got religion. Amen. What they meant by that was that something changed in their life. And they really got salvation's what happened. Amen. And they got a change in their life. And here, the Bible said the blasphemy, if you'll notice that, he said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do you understand that in this early church age, when God would bless a people and the work would take off and begin to grow for the glory of God, just as it was in the days of Jesus, there were people that hated that. They were losing their control. They were losing their grip and they despised the people of God. But there was a church here at Smyrna that made them rich, is that they were willing to be separated. Vance Havner said, we're not to be isolated, but we're to be insulated, moving in the midst of evil, but untouched by it. Separation is contact with contamination. Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet the Bible said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. And so a lot of people think that to be separated is to be isolated. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to John, St. John chapter number 17 for just a moment. Here our Lord is praying for his church. Look in verse number 15. He said here, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We see the importance in a rich church of the word of God, because it's the word of God that stands between us and the ungodly world that we live in. And Jesus said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, Father, but just keep them from the mess, amen, that's in the world. I tell you, that's a good prayer for our children. That's a good prayer for our teenagers. That's a good prayer for our families, amen. God, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil, amen. So their separation is a mark of a rich church. You can tell a difference. I'll say this to you. Listen to me carefully. Very carefully. Y'all asked me to come and preach in March 3 years ago. Brother Rick called me in February, and I had a couple of Sundays open in March. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Ralph. Listen to me. When I came in, I liked what I heard. I liked the songs that I heard. I liked the fact that there wasn't a bunch of people bragging on themselves. They were bragging on the Savior. You say, preacher, what difference does it make? I tell you, I believe, my friend, I'd have just had to go the other way. Amen. I'm too far down the track to be lifting up some man. We need to lift Christ up. Amen. And make a difference in this world that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing it is. The makings of a rich church. Then here comes one. The next thing I see at Smyrna is suffering. The Bible said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You say, preacher, do you believe there's suffering in a church that's rich? Yes, I do. I wish you could have heard Sister Sue's voice this afternoon. She said, "Preacher, I want to come back. I want to get back so bad." I tell you, she's on different medicines, and I'm not going to go into all that. You can tell in her voice, though, she's not confident. You understand what I mean, that it's all working the way it's supposed to work. And when things are up in the air, that's the way it goes sometimes. Amen. But I'll say this to you tonight. That doesn't make her no less a saint of God. That doesn't make her, I guarantee you, she's over there whispering a prayer for us tonight. She loves the people of God, loves the church of God. And beloved, there'll be suffering in a church that's rich. There was suffering in Job's life. There was suffering in the life of Paul. And there'll be suffering in the life of a church that's rich. He said, "But thou art rich." The Bible said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." I know tonight you may not want to hear this, but it's the truth. If something doesn't happen in our country, you mark her down, honey. There'll be some more cast into prison before Jesus comes back. They've already gotten a mess, the Rock of Ages have up there in Pennsylvania, because just preaching about Lot in Genesis chapter 19, and they're threatening to throw him out of the prison. But I want you to know something tonight, beloved. God said to preach it all. Preach the whole counsel of God. Don't you go skipping through the Bible and preach this and refuse to preach that. Preach it all. The whole word of God is given for our inspiration. Amen. Our correction for our instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There'll be suffering along the way. Let me give you this, just a couple of more things tonight, and I'll be done. The next thing I see in a church that's rich is steadfastness. You say, "Preacher, where do you see that?" Notice what the Bible said here. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death." Be thou faithful unto death. I want to ask you something tonight. How many of you have a desire to be faithful to the end? I'm telling you, I don't know where the end is or when the end will come, but I have a desire in my heart to be faithful to the one that's been faithful to me all the way to the end. Jesus, our Lord, my friend, he didn't start towards Calvary and then, my friend, give up. No, sir. He was steadfast all the way to the end. I read about man after man in this Bible. John the Baptist, hallelujah, was steadfast all the way to the end. Abraham was steadfast. Jacob was steadfast. Daniel was steadfast. David was steadfast. And you and I ought to be steadfast all the way to the end. I thought about this and I read this and it blessed my heart. Some of you have heard of this man. There's an example of suffering in history. Just a few years after they received this letter in 155 A.D., the bishop of the church of Smyrna, a man named Polycarp, who was a disciple of John the Beloved, was martyred for Jesus. This man was arrested at the request of an angry mob that cried, "Away with the atheists. Let Polycarp be sought out." The old preacher was 86 years old at the time. He was given the opportunity to renounce Jesus. The magistrate, who did not want to see the old man die, said, "What harm is there in saying, 'Lord Caesar'?" But Polycarp refused. When they entered the stadium where the executions took place, they tried again, saying, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent, and say, 'Away with the atheists.'" Polycarp fixed his gaze on the crowd, waved his arms at them, and said, "Away with the atheist." The magistrate again attempted to get Polycarp to renounce his faith and said, "Swear, I will set thee at liberty. Reproach Christ." To that the old man cried, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" After a few more attempts to get the old preacher to renounce Jesus, they led him away to the stake to burn him alive. time. They were about to nail him to the post. And Polycarp said, "Leave me as I am. For he that giveth me strength to endure the fire will also enable me, without your securing me by nails, to remain without moving in the pile." So they left him loosely bound. They lit the fire as the flames rose around him. He was heard to pray and rejoice in Jesus. He died for his faith, and in doing so, he left an indelible mark in the fabric of time. I say thank God for examples like this. My friend, there have been trails of blood down through the years of men and women who would not turn away in a time of suffering and persecution and tribulation, but they were steadfast for the glory of God Almighty. I tell you, that makes a rich church. Amen. I tell you, they meant to hurt that church. All they did was help that church. Amen. When that precious man of God would not renounce Christ. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." How many believes we have victory tonight? Listen to verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know what that tells me? One of the tricks of the devil. He'll do it to you. He'll do it to me. He'll jump up on your shoulder and he'll whisper in your ear, "What are you doing? It's all in vain. Nobody's listening." He'll tell the Sunday school teacher. He'll tell the children's church workers. He'll tell the pastor. He'll tell the deacons. He'll tell the soul winner. He'll tell anybody that's trying to do something for God that it's all a waste of time. But I want you to know, God said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'll guarantee you, Brother Larry's sitting back there, pastored different churches for years and years and years. I'll guarantee you there were times when he thought, "What have I done? I've been a failure. I haven't made a mark." But I tell you, it's not us making the mark anyway. Praise God. We preach his word. His word makes the mark in the hearts and lives of God's people. Bless his name. Be steadfast. That's a mark in the making of a rich church. Oh, beloved friend, one more thing tonight, and I'll be done. Listen, I believe the Lord, it's the Savior. It's the Scripture. Amen. And we see our service. We see the suffering. We see the steadfastness. We see being separated. All of these are marks of a church, my friend, that is rich in the things of God. Let me give you another mark of a rich church, and I'm done. The Bible said, "Be thou faithful unto death." Notice this, "And I will give thee a crown of life." You say, "Preacher, what do you see in that?" I see the security of the born-again believer. God didn't say, "I might." God said, "I will. I'll give thee a crown of life." I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses my heart. He said, "You're not going to be hurt of the second death." I like the song that Brother Anthony sings. "The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart." Bless his name tonight. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because tonight I'm rich in him. Amen. F.B. Meyer wrote something down that I'll give this to you, and I think it'll bless you. He wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. They hired three guides. This was a huge mountain. They began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order: guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. They had gone only a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a toehold in the niches they had cut in the ice. But then the next man slipped, and he pulled down the two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, who had driven a spike deep into the ice. Because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. F.B. Meyer concluded his story by drawing a spiritual application. He said, "I'm like one of those men who slipped, but thank God I'm bound in a living partnership to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he stands, I will never perish." Hallelujah tonight. Brother Mace Jackson went years ago to visit with a woman, and the woman was in the hospital critically ill. The son met him out in the hallway, and the son said to Brother Mace, said, "Brother Mace, Mama's slipping." Brother Mace walked in and said, "Honey, are you slipping?" She raised her eyes up and said, "How can you slip when you're mired up knee-deep in the rock of ages?" I say hallelujah. The rich church has its stakes driven at Calvary. That's why we're going to hold. That's why we can finish well. That's why we don't have to worry about dying without God and going to hell. My friend, listen. I'm not dependent on the next man. I'm dependent on the man, Christ Jesus. He's the one that drove the stake that'll hold for all eternity. We're secure in him tonight. Thank God tonight for our security. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. I will give him a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will not be heard of the second death. I don't know about you tonight, but the fact that there's overcoming to do tells me that we're in a battle. Amen. This is not a picnic club, but it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. But thank God Almighty, he that's in us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Apostle Paul said it like this: "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In another text, he said, "Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ." In another text, he said, "Who can separate us from the love of God?" Aren't you glad tonight that we're inseparable? Amen. Because of him. Amen. Because of him. The makings of a rich church. I don't know about you, but after I studied this, it humbles me to know how rich I am. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Brother Grizzle, I could get on my knees anytime, anywhere, and go directly into the throne room of God. I don't care how much money anybody in this country's got or anybody in this world. You can't buy that access with money. That access was bought with blood, given to you and I as God's children as a blessed privilege. You know, I believe tonight we're rich. We're rich. We're rich. A lot of the children, I look around tonight and see some of them, Brother Eddie, that come in on the vans, and we know some of their situations. They don't have a whole lot of this world's goods. But I tell you, it'd be good to train them up and let them know that they're rich. But I tell you, if you have Jesus right there, you're rich. Amen. You have a home in heaven, you're rich. You're rich. What a blessing tonight. Evidently, Jesus, looking from the outside in, he said, "I know your works, I know your tribulation, I know your poverty." But there was a reason. He said, "But thou art rich." He put it in parentheses for us, didn't he? "But thou art rich." If you'll look at the Bible as you read it, as you study it, if you'll look at that little word, "but," it'll bless your heart. Amen. Because I tell you, it's just like a hinge on a door many times. God is saying, hey, it looks this way on this side, but let me open this door and show you. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. You go to Ephesians chapter 2 and it talks about how that we've sinned, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us. It makes all the difference in the world. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad we're rich tonight? Amen. I tell you what, I thank God for our Babel. I thank God for our Savior. I thank God for the privilege to serve him in this generation that we live in. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be here at church. I sure have enjoyed fellowshipping, Lord, with you, with your people. I pray, Lord, tonight there's someone here that's out of fellowship with you. Maybe, Lord, there was a time in their life when they trusted you, a time in their life when they praised you, a time in their life when they served you. But Lord, maybe that time, as something's happened, sometimes, Lord, it's dirt in our lives that separates us from a holy God. Sometimes it's a distance that separates us. I remember, Lord, the prodigal son. He went down into a far country. There he was wallowing with the hogs. He stank. He didn't smell like one of your youngins. Lord, he said, I will arise and I'll go to my father's house. Lord, he didn't want to go back even as a son. He just wanted to be a servant. God, I pray tonight, there's someone here tonight and something's happened. Their fellowship is not what it used to be. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's never been born again. I pray you'd speak to that heart tonight. I pray, dear God, that they wouldn't leave here without Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight you'd bless the Bible school coming up. Bless the services, Memorial Day coming up next weekend. Bless Wednesday night, Lord, and give us a good time in the house of God. Lord, right now, we have no promise of tomorrow. Help us to do business with the King in these next few minutes.